Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take me to the King.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many agree with that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you agree with that, make some noise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If you want to find the way of Christ, make some noise.
Hallelujah.
You got the nonsense that's going on in the house of God, and you just want to wait to the King, make some noise. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified. The Bible says, patience speaks that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, and I got three people. I want to wait to the King. I want to wait to the King. I don't want no nonsense. I want to wait to the King. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Glory to God. Amen. Take me up there. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. He is awesome in this house.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. I feel like giving him a praise. Amen. I don't mind giving me 3 minutes. Amen. I just feel like giving him a praise.
Give him a praise. Give word.
Reading is going to start from verse 1,
We're going to read the verse 9. And then we're going to skip over to verse 15. Verse 14. And read to the end. Is that okay? Amen. And the word of God says from verse 1, chapter 5.
From God, we were dead men walking, but through Jesus Christ, God
father back to himself. Now we have the right, hallelujah, to be called the sons of the living God.
Amen.
Verse chapter 6, this is
going to
go to chapter 51 and back up to verse 18 and chapter 6 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, you look at the natural. You can't go by what you feel on this journey. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which you can see, the things which are seen are temporal. I mean, they're temporary. This building is temporary. I guarantee you it's coming down. Hello? The furniture just sitting on there temporarily. They are coming down. Glory to God. So the things that you see with your natural eye is temporal. But the things that you don't see, the spiritual things of God that cannot be seen with the natural eye, are eternal. They will never be destroyed. They will last from generation to generation, even to the end of all things.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Eternal are in God.
Amen.
And cannot be destroyed.
Amen.
So you got to stop thinking in the natural. You got to lose the way you used to think. When you're born again, there's a change that comes on you. Glory to God. Amen. And we go back to verse 5 and chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, verse 1 says, for we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle was installed when we die, we have a building of God. When you are a child of God, you are the building. See, the Spirit of God no longer dwells in this building. Since Christ's time, resurrection at the right hand of the Father, you are the building that the Spirit dwells in. Hello? Glory to God. And so when you walk into the church building, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, then guess what? Hello? You just walk into an empty building. You have to bring the Spirit with you when you come. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm in the church, I didn't feel nothing because you ain't got nothing. You should have went straight to the altar. Hello? You should have went straight to the altar, fell on your face, repented before God, and asked him to fill you with something. Because you don't got nothing. Hello? Glory to God. Folks come in the house of God and even want the preacher to pump up. I want the preacher to preach above. But you got to have this in you from the inside out. You got to walk this thing daily. It ain't just a Sunday go to see. You know, you got to take this Sunday faith with you every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Every day got to be Sunday. The Bible says that Sabbath will have no end on the other side. So you got to be in it. You got to have Sunday faith Monday through Saturday. Glory to God. Because who said God coming on Sunday while you got your Sunday day? You don't slip up on Wednesday, huh? We think the week is almost over. Hello, somebody. Glory to God. And Revelation, Lord, stop. We pop. I had my young people in the book of Revelation Sunday school this morning. Yeah, I'm teaching my young people Sunday school because some folks don't want to get up and come to church and have to look to them. I'm supposed to have got to. Everybody said, who told me? Hello. We get up early to go around, but we shuffle in God's house whenever we want to. We just shuffle on in there like we do in God of faith. But everything is done in time with God.
Amen.
God has a timing for us. You understand? He's a timely God. Hello?
Amen.
And we just can't shuffle around doing the things of God. Well, feel like praying right now through the season. That was your time. When the Spirit of prayer came on you right then, you should have moved right then. So when you feel like doing it this season, God ain't there. Hello? Because I was right there this morning when I put the Spirit of prayer on the inside of you, and you said, no, I'm going to do it right now, God. I don't feel like it. Hello?
Yeah.
So Revelation 21 and 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. The Apostle Paul said, in the name of Christ, and what? A new creature. Somebody give it right. God bless you. So he said, God, behold, I make all things new. And then he said unto me, John the writer, John said, write. 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 Why do you think he had to write that stuff down? Because our little peanut minds, we think we got it all, we know it all. The things that God tells us, we won't always
remember them. But thank God for Pat and Pimple and folk come to church and leave everything home that they need to write notes with. And then when you go out the next day, and then sometimes when you walk out that door, it's back inside your head, and the word that you missed, the word that you should have written down so you can study it, hello, it's gone from you. And now you can't attack him back to getting him back when he hits you, because guess what? You don't know how. It's the word of God that's going to destroy the enemy, not what you do. Right, he said, for these words are true and faithful. He said, I watch over my word daily to perform it. All day long, God is waiting on you. Some saints don't even know the word of God. He's waiting on you to put it out there. The enemy, don't you cut in him, how they will do nothing but put you in the ground. You get on the devil's territory, Bishop, cussing, I'm going to have time for this. And he will slap the taste out of your mouth. He will utterly destroy you. Stuff stop happening all around you. You don't even know. Children sick. This one's dying, losing your job. Your finances are falling. You don't even know your body. You don't know what's going on because you're going to step over in Satan's territory. Come on, you're going to hurt them out. You got something for him. A child of God. Y'all are getting mad at you because you left his domain. Then you gonna step back over there. And some folks say that the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost ain't going into Satan's territory? That's sin. And God don't have no part with sin. So if you think you can jump over in sin and take God with you, as soon as you get over there, that is the Holy Spirit goes. He left you. Now Satan got you. He beat you to a nub. God been wanting to get you over here. My God, you right where I want you. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall be able to inherit all things. It means that we got to overcome it. He that overcometh means that you got to do some work to stay saved. Thank you. You ain't going to just get up out of bed saying, there's no hope, so holy. Righteous, I don't even have to read my Bible. I don't even have to pray. I'm just misrighteous. And the first time you walk out the door, somebody going to step, say something. You might even step on your porch into the neighbor's dog's bed on your way to work. And I would like to be there to hear some words to come out your mind. So you gotta get up praying and giving God glory, seeking his face, because you got a day ahead of you that you don't even know what the enemy has planned for you. You don't even know what's coming at you. You may walk into your job and get slapped in the face with a pink slip and say, you know what? We eliminate your position. We don't need you no more. Would you understand that holy righteous and this, you know, I'm good, I'm great and fantastic, and I don't need God? So you gotta prepare yourself. But he said, so he said, he that overcometh, these are things that we gotta overcome every day. Miss Cutie gonna come back because you done left her alone and now you're going again and you don't do that no more. This is good looking, he coming back. But you gotta have enough in you, Lord God, where you can resist the devil. But the scriptures say you gotta first do what? Submit unto God. So you gotta be so submitted unto God, like Maya Angelou said, that a woman ought to be so into God that a man who wants her has to go to God and see God to find her. When you get it like that, come on. Single women, take heed. You ought to be so into God. Single men, take heed. Every time you walk into a church of woman, women all over you, because you got to heed, this is my husband. You ought to take heed. You ought to be so into God. And when they look at you, they ought to know that, that's a real man of God. Amen. Huh? They look at you all. They ought to not see evil written across your forehead. They ought to see the power of God. Woman of God. There's not, come on. Y'all wake up. This is real truth, gospel. When that man look at you, he ought to see the power of God. He ought to know, I can't go there any kind of way. That woman saved. Huh? Amen. Glory to God. So when you get up and you prepare, now you can inherit all things. And he said, I will be his God, and he shall. be my son, my God. That's when they know you're a child of God, because you overcome all that stuff you used to do. Because I didn't know you used to do it. It's so easy now. Soon as you stop submitting unto God and resisting that stuff, people stop bringing it to your door. Yes, ma'am. Then you get a late night call from Jody or Sarah. I was just thinking about you, and you crossed my mind. You need to say, Sally, Jody, lose my number. When you want me, call on Jesus. He'll tell you where I'm at. Hello! Glory to God. But you've got to be born again. You've got to be renewed, refreshed. The book of Revelation is John's testimony of the things to come that God has given and that God revealed them to him. And then we're talking in Sunday school this morning, and Sister Karen said, but Pastor, look, reveal is in Revelation in the beginning. R-E-V-E-A. I said, you're right. They just let the A out. But a lot of folks didn't catch that. Hello. Revealing of things to come. And Bishop was saying this morning, folks don't like to go into the book of Revelation. I admit it's confusing. You need the Holy Spirit to get an understanding. But you got to read the rest of the Bible too, because see, Daniel and Ezekiel and all of those already talked about what? Hello? In the Old Testament, it hasn't changed. And God is just opening it up to you in a different way. But you got to come out of the natural to see these things. See, that's why the things in the natural will never understand the things of God. You have to be spiritual and discerning. Because in the natural, your opinion don't come up. We talk about a horse. They say, oh, yeah, you know, it's a spiritual thing. No, you're right. And every time you say, why horse? That's the horse Jesus is going to use when he comes back. Because you're not in the spirit. So, coming to the climax with the unveiling of our future events that will take place before the Lord returns to claim his children, who we are. God is coming back, but there's some things that have to take place. And when you begin to study the word of God, people, please study the word of God. Please read the word of God. Those of you who don't come to Bible study, come to Bible study. Those of you who don't pick your Bible up, pick your Bible up. Someone that thing happens, you can't say, I didn't know, because see, God ain't going for it. Hello? The Bible says that God says that there's going to come a time when you're going to fall into calamity. Some of them are laughing at you when you fall into your calamity. Why? Because the word is nigh. It's so close. You can't miss the word of God. But we want to do things our way. We want to just move on in, shift around God like we want to. But for your own soul salvation, you got to understand this is not just something to do. I can't preach this enough. I'm going to preach it if you bring it on. You can't just dip and dab it around God. Your life depends on your walk with him daily, not just on Sunday morning.
Right.
It's what you do throughout the whole week. It's who you are. You're a representative of Christ. You don't want your child out there doing all kind of hold-out nasty stuff with your name written across their forehead. And they say, oh, that's a Pastor Cooper's son. Come on, somebody. You think God wants his children that way? I'm a child of God over there acting like that, praying. The Bible says in Hebrew chapter 10 that you call in God nothing. Like you spit in the face and trample his word on your feet, but therefore there's no more salvation for you, because you willfully, you know what's wrong and you did it anyhow. You know what's wrong not to come to the house of worship. You know what's wrong not to give your tithes and offering. You know what's wrong not to pray when you're supposed to pray. You know what's wrong not to pick your Bible up and read it. You know what's wrong not to glorify God, but you did it anyhow. Then know that if you do everything, you stop living holy. You start doing everything that you thought you were spending on to do. Because you said, don't go by this seat, man. So you went in the closet. But guess what? When you walked in the closet, the new God was right there watching.
Amen.
David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there too.
Yeah.
If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, God is there. Where can I go to hide from God? Nowhere.
That's right.
It's important that we understand that. Loving God is the best thing and the best choice we we ever could have made in our holy life. Serving him was the most, I'm telling you, the most important thing. Giving your life to Christ, you can't do nothing else on this side better than what you did then. You can't. There's nothing else you can do. Hello?
Yeah.
If you get all well, boy, cover this whole city and had all the money in the world, Lord God, when you die, ain't nothing going on that ground but you. But your salvation was done when you died. When you look like that way, not here, so we're all gonna die. But when you get this body, your whole soul resurrected up, your spirit goes to be with the Lord, and now you're alive and in the heavenly place with him. The other way, you're burning in the hell mind for eternity. So what's good? You know that they're weighing in the balance. Glory to God, amen. I have to make a choice. The choice was made for me. When it's in heaven or hell, it's in heaven. Hello. It's not hard to choose. Glory to God. So Jonah was shown the holy city of Jerusalem in Revelation and speak to Mike as it was coming down from heaven. And what a beautiful sight it was. John said it was so beautiful. It was like a bride dressed for her wedding. And everybody know how beautiful brides are. I love to see a bride walking down the aisle. My gosh. Those beautiful flowing white gowns. The beautiful look on their faces, and some of them get this beautiful makeup done to their faces, and it's so awesome and beautiful that they come down the aisle and look like angels. And that might be the first and last time they look like an angel in that relationship. But we're beautiful, right? Amen. So verse 21 in Revelation, verse 3 says, behold, a B section. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he will dwell with them, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all, somebody say all the tears from their eyes. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to cry no more. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying and no more pain. I like that. For the former things have passed away. Glory to God. And verse chapter 22, verse 7, he says, behold, listen. God said, you tell them all this good stuff. What I want them to fix and set up and what's going to happen. Verse 22, he said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. It foretells the things that are going to happen. Not might. Somebody say it's not might. Might, sometimes might in the Bible means that it will, but this might is not like our might, like maybe it'll happen. No, it will happen. It is a prophecy. And prophecies happen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
So the vision of John of heaven, when he thought was the same home that Abraham talked about, when he said, I'm looking for a home whose maker and builder is God. Hello? Not made with the hands of man, but by the hand of God. And see, not everybody is going to be able to dwell in that place, in that new capital N-A-W heaven, capital H-E-A-V-E-N, and that new capital N-A-W earth, capital E-A-R-T-H. He that overcometh, he's the one that shall inherit all things. He that fight the good fight of faith. He that fight through hell and high water to stand holy. He's the one that's going to inherit, somebody say inherit, all things. This means that New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth. Glory to God. And you ought to say to yourself, how do I get there? You got to be born again. You have to be born again. The Apostle Paul gave direction to the Corinthian church when he said, if any man, in verse 5, if any man, 5, verse 1. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and everything is made new and reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I am a new creature. Y'all said that like you believe it. I bless you. Before God sent Jesus out to save us, glory to God, we were a lost cause. We had had it. We were done. Sin had utterly taken control of us, and there was nothing, nothing, and I say nothing, somebody say nothing, that we would not do that was too low for us. Now, you know, stop playing like y'all so holy. You know, did nothing wrong. Before you got saved, you were doing some stuff. Some of y'all still doing it. But you better watch out. The people of the earth are rotten, but sin, when we don't have Christ as our Savior, we cannot clean up ourselves. The offer that he was, it was suitable. The sacrifice cleansed us and prepared us to go to be before the Father, and all we got to do is accept it and make that change. Somebody said, make that change. Through Jesus, the Son of God, and his blood sacrifice at the cross, glory to God, we are saved. We are blood bought. Money cannot buy what he bought for us. We are blood bought by the Son of the living God. Somebody say we are twice his. He made us with his own hands, and he bought us with a price. Amen, amen. You can't get away from that. Sin had utterly taken control of us. There was nothing that we would not do. Glory to God. Jesus, glory to God, the Son of God, his blood sacrifice that saved us. Glory to God. Amen. And so, but the only way that we can partake of this glory, of this officiatory, glory to God, sacrifice of deliverance, amen, and acceptance, is that we first have to accept him, glory to God, as that he is the Son of the living God, and that he died for us, not just to make, sometimes we say that and do that just to make people happy, but you got to believe this. So the Apostle Paul told the Roman church, and you got to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Repent of your sins and be baptized. Not just saying, I'm sorry. See, we got that confused. Church folks think that you can do something and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And it's all right. But willful sin is worse than accidental sin, because you already know from the beginning, as long as you go out there doing anything, well, you're trying God. The Bible says we're not to tempt the Lord our God. Amen. Read the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Amen. You get straight on that. And verse chapter 6, verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, remember, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Somebody say it again. The things which are not seen are eternal. Glory. Somebody listen. So what is the point of going to church? You're not going to first be born again or to get born again. This is a rebirthing and a re-raising. He said, well, I was raised like that. God is re-raising you in the Word. That's why he said, don't fail to assemble yourself together. Hello. Coming together to hear the Word of God so you'll learn how to grow. Reading the Scripture. Glory to God. He is doing a proverbial deprogramming and a reprogramming. But you know what an occult is? An occult is where they take you and deprogram you for what you think and they program you into thinking the way they think. And some people are so easily deprogrammed from the things of God and reprogrammed from the things of the world. Glory to God. And start following after the man instead of following after the living God. But God will deprogram you in the Word. If you want to be cleansed in the Word, this got to be I want to be cleansed. I want to be set free, man. Because he doesn't force his way on us. Hello? Some of us wish he would. That way we won't have to be lost, but he don't. He give us a choice. He said, you make the decision to serve me. Hello? Glory to God. So it's a rebirthing for us. And the Bible says that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That being true, this makes us ineligible. We're not qualified to stand before God glory to God. But we have to stand in the strength of Jesus Christ. God has one of his own for, glory to God, to make it a new heaven and a new earth. John saw when he was on the island of Patmos. And in chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says that we are not to look at what we see, glory to God. Because, hey, glory to God, the things that we see, glory to God, can't get us there. But it's the untouchable things, the things that are not big, the spiritual things, glory to God. Things that are going to remain when everything else passes away, like the word of God. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand. Now, what goes on this earth, everything else is going to die, but God's word is eternal. It's forever. You ought to learn it. You ought to know it like you know yourself. The things of God are spiritual, and you will not understand them in your own natural mindset. And that's what being born again is all about, is making the change of a new lifetime. Tell somebody, you got to be born again. You have to be like Paul told the Romans, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This born again starts in the mind and then goes through the heart. First of all, you got to get a clear way of thinking. You got to think what the Bible says. You got to think like the Bible says. Act like the Bible says. Glory to God. You got to believe it as if God was standing right before your very face, putting this word into you himself. When you begin to take on the word of God, amen, it becomes a lifestyle to you, and things in your life start to change. Reborn and re-raised by God. Glory to God. Amen. I can't say this enough. 1 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. When we die, we have a building of God through the Holy Spirit, a house, glory to God, not made with the hands of man, but a house eternal in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. We are a mansion created by God. Stop seeing yourself like a little old hut. You ain't that no more. You're a spiritual house. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I know the songwriter says, I'm going to build me a mansion in heaven, but the mansion is you. And God says, there in that heavenly place is a house, can't dwell in the spirit. Only you. The mansion, the most valuable part of housing is the mansion, and that's you. God don't just call you a house, but he calls you a mansion. That makes you kingly and priestly. No job. You are somebody. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said, glory to God. Amen. And I believe it. Hallelujah. But like I said, I believe every word he said. God has prepared a new house, a new building for those children that are his own children. Blood bought, born again, re-raised, spirit filled children prepared by God in eternal spiritual heaven. Eternally is you and me. Glory to God. A new home. I got a new home over in heaven. And it's mine, mine, all mine. Y'all know that song. They don't say so. Like, oh, church. Glory to God. Amen.
God.
Only the mature people, y'all get me, remember those songs.
Right.
Glory to God. Amen. When we have realized that we cannot bring the old way into the new way. Jesus said that you cannot pour new wine into old bottles. What is so hard to understand about that? People will find it hard to let go of their old ways and still holding on to the world. They have not really been born again. You've got to be reborn. You've got to be re-raised by the Father, because they have not let go of the world. You've got to let go of the world. It's in their heart. You've got to get the world out of your heart. Revelation 21 says that I will be their God, and they shall be my sons. But you've got to let go of the world. Sons of God, look, walk, talk, and act just like him. Think back, glory to God. When was the last time angel walked up to you, glory to God, and told you you look like a Christian. And they do, they do. They can recognize you. You can't recognize you. But they can recognize you. And when was the last time you went to somebody and told them that they need to be born again? Hello? Man, woman, boy, girl, when was the last time you told them that Jesus was a Savior? It's not recent, and you can't even remember, glory to God, amen, then you need to redo your Christian walk with God. Hello? Go back to the altar, start all over again. Go back to your first love. Or in some cases, find the real love. The first time, real love, for real. If you are truly, truly a new creature, truly, truly born again, as the Apostle Paul speaks about, then your actions speak for themselves. It's what you do that counts in your heart, because your heart doesn't make you move. Hello. So remember Jesus said, what's in a man is coming out, men's coming out too, it's messing in there. People often say that you have to have gimmicks and certain types of functions to bring people into your church. Well, I don't want them coming to the church that way. Because I put a gimmick up and have a special function, and now they're coming because it was a good time over there and we jumped and shouted and ran. What happens when the shout stops and the music stops playing? Hello? When we shout, we shout, we thank God for eagles coming out. Keyboard player is indisposed momentarily. Amen. And this should get on that guitar and strum up the old hymn. Cool. A bump of the bump bump and Jakari gets over there on the drums and we get a thumpity thump thump. And we, when they ain't here, there's a bass drum. We just have to get that bass drum session noonday prayer. And we sit back, church, church, church. Because you're seeking the Lord. And not the music, and not the dance, and not the eating program that happens the whole time and eating. Not that, but you're really truly seeking. When you're seeking God, it don't take a gimmick. You can realize that I got a soul that needs to be saved. How can I find a way to save my soul? Glory to God. You get a consciousness about you that if you don't get saved, if you don't give your life to Christ, you're going to die. On this side, if I have the joy of the Lord, I'll be strong enough to endure this thing. But because I don't have the joy of the Lord, I don't know Christ. It's hard for me to bear. You get worried about your soul. You stop seeking God. Glory to God, not things. Glory to God, amen. You don't need nobody to tell you you're good when you know you're full of air. Huh? Hello? You need somebody to save your soul alive. Please save me out of here. I don't need you to pay to pat me on my back. Just keep me from going in the wrong direction. They just encourage yourself. If you need to go find somebody to encourage you, pat yourself on the back and encourage yourself. Pick up the scriptures and read the word and encourage yourself. But in the meantime, look for God. Try the spirit to see if it's of God. Your own spirit, get close to God so you can stop being fooled by the enemy. Hello. Because there's some enticing words out there that will draw you away from God. And you think you'll be born again, you're not. You think you're living holy, and you're not. You're still doing the same stuff. Because they tell you it's okay. And they take the scriptures and turn them around and fit their plan and their program. Hello? They're very convincing. When people come to you with that nonsense, when you're full of the Holy Ghost. See, one thing about the Holy Ghost, folks, they don't come to you any kind of way. People in the world ain't going to come to you any kind of way. See, I value my life in the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, I'm garbage. You understand that? I'm nothing. I'm nothing to the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, I can't live without Him. I value what's in me. So I give them a powerful hand. Everything I got every day. I don't have nothing to take. I said, Lord, please don't let your spirit leave me. You might as well kill me. Because I'm nothing without it. Come on. When you come to that reality, the devil knows you mean that. And everything he sent at you, he'll strike you as hard as he can. But guess what? You won't faint. You'll go to your grave, giving God the glory. He may take your life, but he won't take your soul. But you'll stand and you'll hold up to God. This life is temporary anyway. But when you stand firm, the devil will approach you and he'll know who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Street people. Those that play in church, they don't know who you are. I thought about my insurance man came there, sat at the table across the table from me, looked me in my eyes, and he couldn't even think no more. He got all crossed up. He couldn't think. I had to read the stuff he was telling. I had to read it for him. He was shaking like a leaf on a tree. He said, let me ask you something. Y'all Christian? I said, yes, we are. Oh, I tell you, there's something about you. He was writing and looking like this. He said, you know, I'm a Jewish man, but I'm a Jewish Christian. He said, this is new to me. He said, my girlfriend brought me into this. And then he told us, like he said, you know, where we live at, how Christians live with a man. So that sin in him confronted the Holy Ghost. And he couldn't take it. And I said, God, it's okay. It's fine. Just keep speaking and it's going to be all right. Hello? When you're real and honest, never know when you're playing too. You know you ain't got nothing. You're going to say, yeah, I need to go to church on it. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I feel bad for what I said.
And keep around cussing and do whatever you direct there in your face. Because he has no respect for you. And we worry about people that don't respect church folk. It's because of church folk that they don't respect church folk. Because I've been in places where I've seen church folk act like crazy folk. Hello. Sister Cheryl, I've been in stores when I've seen church folk cussing out the lady at the checkout because she was in line a little bit too long. Come on. I worked in a place where church folk, apostles, that man put the front desk clerk and drew back the hearer, and she jumped back, so he took his sandwich and threw it in with his sandwich. Apostle from somewhere up the road. And they began,
I ain't got nothing to do with that.
I'm a Christian, for real. That ain't me. Y'all know that ain't me. Hello, bringing shame to the church. People ought to know who you are in God. Being born again means you don't act that way no more. Oh, get on your nerves, born again, say, yeah, get mad, but don't sin. Just walk away. You think I'm going to say, Jesus, you're going to bless me, so you ought to knock her block off. Jesus, hallelujah. Come on. Being born again means that you, it don't mean you're God. It just simply means that you're conscious of the Holy Spirit and you try to live in him every day of your life. You make the change that needs to be changed. Tell somebody you got to be born again. I'm almost done. I'm not doing it. I hear some Christians may come in like, just how I was raised. It's the way I was taught. My mama like that. My dad like that. When they make these types of comments, it's like this. It's a sure sign that they don't even mean to make a change. They have no intentions of change. Come on. Because if they're like, hey, you know, I know, and I'm trying to change, pray for me. Pray for me. Show me how I can change. But when they start being like, I'm just the way I've been like this all my life. That's why Jesus came. You understand me? That's why he came. So that the way we are all about life, we don't have to be that way. Contentious woman is better than living on a rooftop in the cupboard. be a miserable house. He's not going to say that once we have to read our Bible. Think about that, all y'all need contentious women and giving that man all the trouble. He said it's better to be in a corner on the rooftop in the wind and the weather and the rain and the snow than if he didn't let a woman that's going to talk about everything. Things that we need to change, we ought to change them. Hello? Man, take care of your home and household. He said a woman, a man that don't work and take care of his house is worth an infidel. Disobedient children that want to do nothing. Well, you know, I can't make him do that too. He ain't been here for 2 years on this earth. You are his mom. And you can't make him do nothing. 2 years? I got a problem with that. I don't care for that. Please don't. Because see, now, from now on, when I want something from you, I'm going to go to him. If your mama do such and such. But you're running your mouth. Now, honey, honey. I mean, you're in charge. Hello? The Bible says train the child up right. He's not just talking about in the church. Teach them to respect their elders. Teach them to respect other people's property. Teach them not to steal. Teach them to obey you. And Solomon said, if you spare a rod, you spoil the child. He said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod. And don't try to kill their child. But beat their family. When they need a whooping, take them to the woodshed. Hello? Spank them. Because if you don't, you raise them thugs, criminals, drug addicts, crooks. And if you don't fix them, the police will. You're going to be slow walking behind that casket. Or you're going to be looking out through prison bars. You make the choice. Huh? You treat them, you teach them right, teach them respect, and all they will never forget it. They may think you're killing them now, but on the other side, when they grow up, they will thank you. They will thank you, literally thank you, for the way that you raised them. Huh? Because they're going to look over there and see their friend sitting up under the tree getting high, tore off from the floor, looking like something out of the woods. And they went to college, got an education, or they had a decent job. Huh? They have wife and children and family. They didn't go that route. They gonna say, you know what? It was my upbringing. Come up. So train your child up right. Don't use the excuse, daddy ain't here. Be daddy to them. And let God help you be a father and a mother to your child. Until he sends them a daddy, and he will. If you ask him, he'll send them a faith. Sanctify God, Holy Ghost, be a father comes in that will love him and love you the way the Bible says love him. He'll fix it up for you. God will. But you got to be born again, standing. Being a new baby, when you get born again, you have to drink sincere milk. I mean sincere, true milk. You don't need to go where you ain't getting fed. You don't need to be playing around just reading a little bit here. When I read 2 scriptures today, you got to deep and dive into that word like your meal, and it is your meal. You not even need to feed your spirit. Your spirit has to be fed, okay? But you got to get the sincere meal of the word. And the more you drink the word, the more in the focus things will come to you. Just like a baby who looks through blurred eyes at a new birth. And when you start to grow in the word and in knowledge, you're going to gradually start to get peace. And then when you start to get peace, you'll be like that new baby getting some understanding. When you start to get peace, glory to God, I'm going to speak like that. Thank you, Brother Joe. You be good. Amen. Amen. I pray for that belief. Amen. Keep on stomping in the rain. Amen. But when you start growing, when you start getting clear understanding in the word of God, then you can walk. Amen. You can eat hard food. You don't have to eat soft food. You don't have to grind your food up no more. Glory to God. When you start getting the deepness of the word, you don't have, you're not still at John 3:16. Everybody know John 3:16? Okay, so nobody don't know what happened except for three people. So that means y'all ain't even got past John 3:15. That means y'all ain't even in the Word. Okay, I get it. I get it. So if everybody perish and die and go to heaven, is it passable? I'm here every Wednesday night for Bible study, right? I'm here every Sunday to preach the Word, right? I'm here for Sunday school every Sunday morning, right? So when the enemy slap you upside your head and you call me for prayer, if I tell you I ain't praying for you, I preached on that word last week, you should know it. Am I wrong? Hello? Hello? I ain't praying to send y'all no more, but y'all just told me y'all don't even know the word. Come on, 3:15.
I heard that when I was in school. Yeah.
You remember that right now? Soon, the preachers came out there, the missionaries, and they told us what John 3:16 was. I know that. I mean, I don't expect you to know, but you do now. You're going to read John 3:16, right? All right. Hello?
Amen.
Somebody say John 3:16, boy.
All of us believe.
Thank God, amen. So that means I'm on this side. We got it. I'm going to have to preach to this side by swaying and stuff. I heard you, Sister Sharon. You got it. I'm going to swing a whip over here and a couple over there. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. That's how important the Word of God is. As we grow, the enemy can use things against you. And you get past the 23rd Psalm. How many know the 23rd Psalm? Okay, I'll both of y'all. Everybody in the world knows the 23rd Psalm. Even the devil knows that. But you get past that. Because you're brand new. You're born again. And you can't stay born again without the Word of God. Because you'll come to church, you'll dance, you're singing in choir, you do everything, but you'll go right back out there and do that same dance that you were doing before you walked in the door, because there's no cleansing in you. There's no change in you. Your attitude has not changed. And you're asking why? Why? Because you haven't changed what you used to do. You ain't studied the Word. You don't know the Word. You don't know the Word. You don't know what to change. So you're still doing the same thing. You're still acting like a fool you were when you got there. You just got on the suit. Isn't that right? Just got on the repeat of repeat food. That's not all. Hello? See, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing what I say. My God reigns, my God reigns, He reigns, He reigns, He reigns, my God reigns, my God reigns, He reigns, He reigns, He reigns, hallelujah, from the heavens to the earth, God reigns. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, whatever you need today. If you are saved and you're confused about your salvation, come. But if you're not saved and you want to get saved, come. But let me tell you, there's more to being saved than just getting saved. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm not going to pray for you if you saved to read your Bible. Hello?
Yes.
Should I pray for you to read your Bible?
No.
Hello? Should I pray for you to come to church? Thank you.
You got the Word.
I should have to pray for you to come to your services so you can learn of God and be strong. walk in the water, should I? So if that be the case, listen to me. I should have to pray for you to read your Bible. And I should have to pray for you to come to your services. And I should have to pray for you, glory to God, to learn the word of God. Then why should I have to pray for you to be healed? Why? Because when you know the word of God, the healer is in you. Jesus said, by your faith, be it unto you. You know the word of God. You start taking baby steps. Like thinking as your mother said, I don't know how to walk, but I'm going to walk you now. I don't know how to walk into the chapel, but I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to move. I'm going to put one seat up. I've seen the preacher put one foot on the door. The word of God says if you put one foot in front of the other, you're walking. So I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. When you know the word of God says that if you say you're healed, you'll be healed.
Somebody tell the Lord, thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for
before you tomorrow, Father, and standing before you right now. Father God, with surrendered heart and surrendered hands. Father God, you brought her from one thing to the other. You brought her out of that, and now you're going to bring her out of this. And Father God, we ask that you place a seal upon her according to your word, the hush, that you move her, Lord God, to places where the enemy is already now.
Come new.
Now, except you do that part right there, all other stuff is none and more. You just bunny rubber for nothing. Because first of all, you got to understand that all sins have become new. Now that means that you can serve God and the devil.
Hallelujah.
You can have them down there what the scripture says that you cannot serve two masters. You can have them both. So there's no way that you can live for God today and the devil tomorrow. It's impossible. You can have both of you to have one or the other. Glory to God. There's one that says, I put the key of steel and to destroy. And the other one says that all the promises and all the blessings belong to the children of God.
Yeah.
Now you got to make up your own mind. Which one are you? But I thank God for the message. Praise God, amen, because I can remember when that thing I had, the old thing, the old man, and the old man was gone away with, not a new man come on the scene. But see, now the new man can have it again on his own. But now we heard something about you got to have the spirit, you got to have the Holy Ghost. But God dwells on the inside. Now, without the Holy Ghost on the inside, that old man got character free by the
Hallelujah.
Because the door haven't been locked yet. But once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost,